The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, one of the discoveries in doing meditation practice is that some of us think a lot. And that it can be a discovery because sometimes it's so easy to think kind of automatically as if this is the structure of the universe. It's like a fish supposedly doesn't see the water it swims in. So we don't necessarily see how much we're thinking because as far as we know, we've always been thinking, and that's the way, the medium through which we understand the world. And because it's so automatic and we take many times thinking for granted, we don't really investigate or see what we're thinking or what we're believing and what the principles that we're operating under. And sometimes what we're operating under is fear. There can be a lot of fear that people have, and so a lot of the thoughts are somehow or other rooted in fear, looking for safety, trying to make ourselves safe, trying to understand something so we can be safe. Some of them are based on desires. I want something. Only if I get this will I be successful, or will I be affirmed, will I get approved by people. And so I need to kind of get a better job, I need to get a better education, I need to get a better car, I need to, you know, be a better meditator so someone will approve me. That I have, you know, so it's always this desire and wanting something is maybe the character of the thoughts. So as we begin meditating, it's not a mistake to be thinking in meditation. Certainly it's useful to let go of it, it's easy to let go of. But we are also beginning to look and understand something about the nature of how we're thinking, the patterns of which we think, the common themes that go on, the underlying beliefs behind our thoughts that are fueling them. And part of that is also the emotions. And there's a whole slew of thought trains that we can have that are being powered by certain emotions. It's like fear can power some. anger can power some. Resentment. Some of them are powered by conceit, by all kinds of concerns about I have to be a certain kind of person. I want to be a certain kind of person. And so it's all these thoughts about, you know, getting approval or proving myself or doing all kinds of things. So as we meditate, and we maybe get settled down, shoulders relax, the belly relaxes, we start settling into the present moment, we start noticing at some point that the thoughts, that their thinking mind takes us into a world that's stressful. It takes us away from this place where we're relaxing and settling here. And then it becomes maybe a little easier to let go of our thoughts, not believe them so strongly, to have them settle. And we start at some point to evaluating that it's important to be really here and that many of the thoughts are not about here, they're about other times and other places. And so then we learn to be here more and more, and certain kinds of thoughts begin to dissipate. We might still be thinking a little bit about, well, my knee hurts and I wonder if I shift my knee a little bit. And so maybe you do shift your knee and it's a little better. But there isn't these higher order kind of thinking about, you know, I'm hoping they give medals here at IMC for being a good meditator so I can go home to my parents and show them that I've accomplished something in my lifetime. I became a good meditator or something. It's just like, oh, that kind of, there's a whole kind of level of discursive thoughts that begin quieting. And some of those thoughts are the thoughts that divide us. Some of the thoughts are the ones that what's behind them is that something is wrong with me. Some of the thoughts are the ones that are thinking about all the things that are wrong with me. And some of those thoughts are received from our society around us. The society has these ideas about all kinds of people who are particular genders, particular race, particular age, all these different things that somehow dismisses people, marginalizes people, treats people as not really so worthy of respect, or to be ignored and not to pay attention to them, and all these different ideas that are so painful that society does around us. And then in a way they get internalized. And there's a way with which, without even thinking about it or planning on it, we take in the idea something is wrong with me. Or feel hurt in such a way that we get caught up in the hurt, as if the hurt is our identity. And the marvelous thing about meditation is that it's possible to slowly, without agreeing or disagreeing with any of it, to just quiet these voices down, quiet these beliefs down. And one of the core beliefs that quiets down can be the notion that something's wrong with me. And that could just be a generalized category for a whole slew of thoughts that you could say, what's wrong with me is X. Something's wrong with me and it's X. But the mind thinking that way stops. Maybe there's some truth to it. But it's the thinking about it which can be poisonous. To repeatedly thinking about it, oh yes, something is wrong with it, something's wrong with it, something's wrong with it. I'm nearsighted. Actually, I'm not nearsighted anymore. I'm nearsighted in one eye and farsighted in the other eye now. So I'm wrong both ways. And both eyes are wrong. So I have these glasses that somehow kind of correct for both funny things that I have. But I don't go around thinking, Gil, something's wrong with your eyesight. You're really a wrong kind of person. Something's wrong with you because you can't see very well. Your eyes are actually confused because they're seeing two different things, And so, I guess there's really something wrong with me. And I can't confess this to everyone publicly because it's something wrong with me. And so my mind doesn't think that. I'm not involved in those thoughts. I just let it be. I just deal with it the best I can. And so it's possible to have the thinking mind become quiet that tells us these things which can be quite painful. It's possible some of the painful things we've inherited from the world. As we quiet down, the alternative we can start feeling is feeling whole. We can feel whole just the way we are. We can have an experience of ourselves that we don't have any thought that something's wrong with me. Even if your eyesight is bad, you don't have to think about that. And you start feeling that, it's not that I'm perfect. That's another thought. But there's nothing here that says I'm wrong. And there's a feeling of ease, of peace, well-being, that somehow we're at rest in ourselves. And then from that place you can see these old voices can return. Gil, your eyesight is bad. You're a wrong person. I can see those thoughts arise, and I can say no, thank you, or I can say, that's just kind of a way of thinking. I don't have to believe that. Let me go back and rest in this wholeness that I feel. And why this is really phenomenally useful interpersonally is that interpersonally, the world out there, the people out there, many of them don't practice, don't have a spiritual life, are not psychologically mature, and they might have all kinds of beliefs that imply something is wrong with you. And they'll say things, they'll behave in ways that are not good. And I'm not trying to justify that they do that in any kind of way. What I want to say is that if you receive it in that mind state that you already kind of feel like something's wrong with yourself, then it hurts that part of us, it irritates that part of us, and reinforces that part of us in ways that are not useful. If we have a sense of wholeness, like this, when we have a confidence in, there's nothing wrong with me, I can be how I am, sitting here and breathing and being. The advantage of that is, then when someone says something, says, you know, the only right people are people who have 20/20 vision. And then I hear that, and it doesn't have to create any ripple in my wholeness. It doesn't have to have. I don't have to believe it. I don't have to relate to it. I don't have to do anything with it. I don't have to contract around it. I don't have to become angry about it. I don't have to become afraid of it, because I'm resting in this feeling of wholeness. And from that place, I might say, I might have the wherewithal to say to someone, the person who said it, "Oh, that's an interesting statement." In a different state of mind, I might have felt hurt hearing that, because I'm not 20/20 vision myself. I feel like I'm overlooked or dismissed now. But it said that it's, we respond in a way from that wholeness, as if we don't have a problem with it. But it might be useful for you to know what this statement is like that you just said. So this, I think, it's a radical thing to allow ourselves to know our thinking, to recognize how we do it, begin to become wise about how we think, learn how to let go of thoughts and settle to a deeper place where we're not going to think any kind of thoughts, "Something's wrong with me." You have permission to do that when you meditate. You don't have to operate from any kind of idea that you don't have to think that way, you don't have to believe that, operate on that belief. That kind of operating system can be put aside, can be turned off. And we can just sit here and breathe, be at ease. Just being alive is enough. Nothing to prove, nothing to defend, and nothing to make happen, and nothing to, you know, to just breathe and be content and happy, but in a way that we feel whole. And this idea of being whole, not divided, not at war with ourselves, not pushing aside one part of it, one part of ourselves against another part, and thinking that we're somehow something's wrong with us, divides us. That already we're beginning to fragment rather than be whole. So if meditation can take you to this place of wholeness, it's a game changer for how we live this life. And it's not all or nothing. It's a kind of a process. It's starting to feel more whole, this is how it's like. Oh, this is a different way. This breaks the hegemony of these social beliefs that I've inherited, that I live in, and I don't have to believe that anymore. I can step away from all these things that crazy making things that so many people in society are doing to each other. This is radical. This is quite something. So each of you are whole people. You can't not be whole. And may the whole of you, as you drop down into this place where you're not operating on all these thinking worlds, all these beliefs, trust that. Because chances are that's also a place where you're not going to be oriented towards wanting to harm anybody else. The place we harm ourselves from is this activated place where we have tension and stress about who we are and who we need to be. But this deeper place, we can trust it. And that's where the best of who we are can be offered to the world. So thank you.